Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Good morning. All right, you're all dressed up pretty and nice. Well, I have a question for you. These are quiz questions. Now think about Jesus and Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, okay? If I gave you something that was red, what would the red remind you of?
Death.
And what did it have to do with Jesus? And what color was his blood?
Red.
So red is the color of blood. How about green? What's something that we see green around on the lawn now? Grass, yeah. How about yellow? What's the sun is yellow. How about orange? Well, if you ever look at the sunset, right down at sunset, it's kind of orange color, isn't it? How about black? What would black remind you of? What?
Dark clouds.
And sin. Yeah, nighttime and sin. Those kind of things. How about white?
Clouds.
And? Angels. We think of angels as being white and pure and clean, right? How about purple? That's a more difficult one. When we think about Jesus, maybe the disciples were sad, and purple is kind of a sad color. Unless you really like purple, and then it can be something else, right? How about pink? Sunset, or maybe even a sunrise, huh? Yeah. Well, I brought something along today. I'll give each one of you one of these. And they've got jelly beans in them of all those colors. Okay? So you can remember what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was all about. Right? You're welcome. So, let's say thank you, God, for Jesus, shall we? Thank you, God, for giving us Jesus, for giving us all the colors of the rainbow, and giving us all those colors that remind us of your blood, of your life, of your suffering, of the sin that caused it, and of the new life that you offer us each day. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. Well, some of you probably are old enough to remember a commercial. It used to be for a woman's hair product, and they would ask this question. Does she or doesn't she? Remember? Only her hairdresser knows. Well, today we're going to ask a different question. Did he or didn't he? In fact, it's a question that we have to ask every time we go to a funeral. Every time we have a relative who passes away, or a loved one. Every time we go to the cemetery, if we haven't asked it mentally, we still think the question, did he or didn't he rise from the dead? Wow, what a question. In the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, if you remember, it ends with Jesus dying on the cross. And the choir sings in the background. Do you think you are who they say you are? And it ends right there. There's no joy. There's no hope. There's no resurrection. And if you ask Andrew Lloyd Webber, did he or didn't he? He'd say, obviously not. He died on the cross. He's dead. It's all over. John Masefield wrote a play about the crucifixion. And in it, he has Pilate's wife near the cross and is talking to one of the guards. And she asks, is he dead? And the guard says, no, madam. And she says, well, where is he? And the guard says, he has gone where no one can stop him. You ask Masefield, did he or didn't he? Masefield would have said, absolutely yes, he is risen. Now, in all honesty, our human logic tells us that dead is dead. I grew up on a farm. I know what a dead animal looks like. I know what a dead animal smells like. And I've never seen one of them come back to life. Dead is dead in our human logic. And yet, in Isaiah's words to the people of Israel who thought that they were dead, I'm going to do a new thing, says the Lord. A new thing that nobody has thought of. A dead people will come to life. A dead nation will be given new life. And I guess we have to ask, could Isaiah be talking about us as his people? The church? Could he be saying the church could be given new life? That we as people of God could be given new life? That we as a nation could be given new life? Of course. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, they have a great deal of concern. Keep in mind that these people know about the resurrection. They know about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Paul's been teaching them about it. But they had the idea that, well, Jesus was going to come back any day now. Some of them had even taken the step of selling or giving away everything they had and just kind of living off of everybody else. Because if Jesus has come back, why do I need a job? Why do I need all this stuff? I don't need it because I'm going to be lifted up. Well, it's been a few years now, and Jesus hasn't come yet. And now, of course, their friends are considering them a bunch of mooches living off of them. And you know, that's not very nice. And besides that, some of their relatives have died, either of old age or sickness or persecution, because they are the underdogs who are being persecuted by the Romans. My goodness. The question comes up then. Well, wow, if we are seeing people dying right and left like this, then did he or didn't he? Is there really life after death? And Paul makes it quite plain. If our hope is only for this life, then we are most people, most to be pitied. Because our life in this world is temporary. It's not an eternal life. But the one that he leads us to will be eternal. Can you imagine what it must have been like for those women as they came to the tomb? My word. They had been at the cross. In fact, the men kind of deserted. The women were the ones who were there at the foot of the cross. They saw Jesus take his last breath. They saw the water and blood flow out of him when he was stabbed with a spear. They saw that emaciated body taken from the cross. They had helped to wrap that body that had no skin on its back from a beatings that he received in a cloth, and they saw him placed in this tomb. And now they had to wait until after the Sabbath to prepare the body for a decent burial. They come to the tomb with spices and herbs that they're going to use for that purpose. And their mind is only on the task ahead. Can you imagine how gruesome that must have felt? But then, the shock of seeing the tomb empty and the angels telling them, "He's not here. He is risen. Why are you standing around here gawking?" And then they run for everything they're worth all the way to the disciples. And of course, the disciples see them as a bunch of dizzy dames. That's another way of putting it. They're just, what can you expect from a bunch of hilarious, stupid women? What do they know? You ever heard that before? My goodness, time doesn't change, does it? But Peter realizes something is different, and he runs all the way to the tomb just to find out that what they were talking about was not an idle tale. It was true. Did he or didn't he? Peter would have told you, absolutely he did. Imagine seeing Jesus in person after that. In fact, they had a meal with him. They saw him a number of times. They knew in their heart of hearts they had seen him. They had eaten with him. And they had found out that he wasn't just flapping his gums when he told them that there was going to be a resurrection. And then promises them that it won't be just for him, but for all who believe in him. When in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene is one of the women who go to the tomb and meet Jesus. And when she meets Jesus, she doesn't recognize him. She thought it was the gardener until he speaks to her. There's a story about St. Francis of Assisi, who had this terrible fear and loathing of lepers. One day as he's walking along this road, he isn't paying a whole lot of attention, and he looks up and he sees this leper in advanced stages. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, it's where the skin, the flesh literally rots on you. So not only do you have this disgusting look, but the disgusting smell of rotten meat. And he looks up and there is this leper. And his first impulse is to turn and run the other way. But he stops himself. He turns around and he embraces the leper and kisses him. But when he opens his eyes, the leper is gone. And he realizes, how many times have we passed up an opportunity to show Jesus some love because of color or race or politics or any number of things that keep us from showing compassion and love and not realizing that this could be Jesus in disguise? So each of us has to answer that question. Did he? Because if he did, then you and I will rise too. Or didn't he? Is it all just a feeble myth? But if we are in that position that Paul talks to the Corinthians about, if this is the only life we have any dependence on, we are most to be pitied, because the best is still yet to be. The best is there for every one of us, because I tell you from the bottom of my heart, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand and sing the hymn number 671.